This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Bills related to road funding and other issues remain before the Michigan legislature as its lame duck session continues. Gongwer News Service editor Zach Gorchow joins us for an update on what lawmakers may or may not accomplish before the end of the year. Zach, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Gordon.
Let's begin with road funding. As we talk on Friday morning, the House last night approved House Speaker Jace Bulger's plan, which phases out the sales tax on gasoline while bringing in a new gasoline tax or raising it. Does it seem like the House and Senate are going to be able to find common ground on some sort of a road funding package before they adjourn at the end of the year?
I think so. You know, I think the Senate passing that fairly substantial increase in the gasoline tax, combined with, you know, the governor's support for a move like that for some time, has put a lot of pressure on the House. Everything we hear is that the Speaker is a pretty solid supporter of increasing gasoline tax revenues. And what I think you saw yesterday with this plan that would lift the sales tax off of gasoline and essentially make it a revenue-neutral proposal, even with the gas tax going up, it was about a negotiating position, that the Speaker put the message privately to the other Republicans, if we don't pass this, the only alternative is the Senate plan to just raise the gasoline tax. You know, we have no leverage. So, you know, what a middle ground or, you know, some sort of compromise looks like at this point, I can't tell you. But it does seem to me that it's now moving toward the point where there will be some type of revenue increase for roads. There's just too much happening now to say that this is going to fall apart. You know, the Senate has gone way out on a limb now, and I can't see this falling apart at this stage, although you can never say never.
House Speaker Jace Bulger has talked about this being a way to fund roads without a tax increase. Does that provide some political cover, or at the end of the day, are people going to say $1 billion going to roads is coming from somewhere?
Well, I mean, yeah, it certainly, there's no question that, you know, if that plan were to become law, motorists would not see any change in what they're paying at the pump. So, yeah, it's definitely, you know, he can fairly say it is not a tax increase. You know, what the major criticism of the plan is that, you know, the sales tax on gasoline, just like the sales tax on everything else, largely funds K-12 public schools and local governments through revenue sharing. And, you know, if you take the sales tax away from off of gasoline, you're talking about $1 billion reduction in revenue. About $700 million of which goes towards schools that would need to be made up. Now, the forecast, the consensus economic forecast, and that's a nonpartisan forecast, for the state shows that sales tax revenues will continue to grow in the coming years and that would make up for this lost revenue. Now, even if you buy that, it would still mean then that K-12 schools essentially would be seeing, you know, no change in revenues. And just like anything else, you know, costs are increasing for everybody, whether that's in healthcare or wages or equipment and so forth. I don't think there's any question it would put schools in a difficult position. They're hoping to see some gains from the economy doing better like everybody else. So that's one issue. So the House put in some language last night that would say that the reduction or lifting of the sales tax off of gasoline would stop if there was actually a spending cut to K-12 schools or local governments. That's an interesting move. It would seem to buy some cover for those who voted for this last night to say, you know, that they were not cutting K-12 schools, which is certainly what Democrats will try to tag them with in subsequent campaigns. But the problem is that if that actually did come to pass, then you haven't really solved the road funding problem.
The governor identified road funding as one of the major priorities for the lame duck session. He also said that he wanted lawmakers to at least have a discussion on expanding the Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act and include protections against discrimination for sexual orientation. That has bogged down, apparently. How come it appears at this point that the legislature is going to adjourn without a vote on expanding Elliott Larson?
Well, it's a layered issue. to a layered answer to that question. I mean, I think in the end, the major reason that it's not going to happen is there's still a reluctance in the legislature, Republican-controlled legislature, to go down this road. And I think the holdup seems to be that while there's been changes in thinking and more openness to the idea that people need to be protected from being fired or denied housing or denied access to a place, a public place, because they're gay or lesbian, it appears that that same change of thinking has not occurred regarding people who are transgender. And the Speaker of the House, Jace Bolger, is not willing to support a bill that extends those civil rights protections to transgender people. The supporters of the change are not willing to move forward with a bill that does not include transgender people. And there's sort of a difference in thinking among some of the supporters on this, that there is a faction, I think a minority faction within the LGBT community, that says, let's take what we can get. You know, we have to get protections at least for based on sexual orientation, which Jace Bolger, the Speaker, is willing to support. But, you know, and we'll have to leave the gender identity piece for another day. But it appears most of the activists out there that is not an acceptable solution, that they view that as throwing the transgender community under the bus, and that the transgender community actually is subject to the most discrimination in employment, housing, and access to public places. And so that they are in most need of those protections being extended to them. And that realistically, if you did move a bill that it did not include the transgender community, it could be a generation at least before you get back to that. So it's definitely a complicated, delicate situation. There's a lot of hard feelings about this right now. But I don't think there's any question at this point that the idea that the legislature is going to pass a change to Elliot Larson is dead. The other factor I didn't mention is that the Speaker wanted a separate statute enacted ensuring protections for religious freedom so that essentially if someone were to refuse to participate in some way, whether their business being involved in a gay wedding, that they would not face sanctions under Elliot Larson under that, which still there hasn't been an answer to the question. You know, Elliot Larson only deals with employment, housing, and public accommodation. So it's still a little unclear to me exactly how the new religious freedom statute is supposed to fit with that. But that was something that the Speaker wanted and the LGBT community was, vehemently opposed to.
But the religious freedom legislation did move ahead in the House, as did a bill regarding faith-based adoption agencies. In some ways, might the gay community be looking at what's happened in the legislature over these couple weeks and say, not only did we not get what we wanted, but in a way, we have felt our cause get set back somewhat?
Yes, is the answer to that question. I mean, I think, with the Elliot Larson stuff, I think part of the reason there's a lot of hard feelings is there was a sense for over a year that the Republicans were, leadership was going to work with them on the Elliot Larson stuff, that, Democrats held off introducing bills for a long, long time to make the change, sort of with the idea that, Republicans were going to work with them on this. And it's not so much that I guess you could say they feel like they've been taken to the altar and left there, because in the end, it's pretty clear the Republicans are not comfortable moving forward on this. And then, like you said, you have this Religious Freedom Restoration Act moving forward. Now, if it does become law, it's not going to just, involve potential issues with the LGBT community. It could involve a lot of things. And there is a national Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which was really not to get too far off the path here, but that was the key piece in why in the Hobby Lobby case that allowed closely held businesses to refuse to provide certain forms of birth control. So it's a much more overarching proposal than just gay issues.
Lame duck sessions often include bills that have sat for a while and then they all of a sudden come back up. And sometimes it can get very contentious. People remember Right to Work from a couple of years ago. Does there appear to be anything right now on the horizon which is going to lead to a very acrimonious end to lame duck, or perhaps is there a piece of legislation out there which someone is getting ready to uncork that we might have at least heard some rumblings about at this point that could make for some late nights ahead before lawmakers call it a year?
Well, I think the scenario on that, if there is going to be something like that, it would mean that roads probably collapses, a road deal collapses, because to get a roads package through the legislature almost certainly is going to involve needing a lot of Democratic votes. And the Democratic leader in the House, Tim Grimmel, has made it clear he wants roads to be the last thing that is done, because if, say, the House Democrats vote to pass a road funding package, let's just say next week, for argument's sake, that it happens next week, and that leaves one more week of session, that they are very worried then they have lost all leverage, and that some of the issues they are very worried about could then get passed by, with only Republican votes. So those are things like repealing the prevailing wage law in Michigan, or changing how Michigan awards electoral votes in the presidential election. If Rhodes falls apart, then the Republicans may say, well, we don't need the Democrats for anything now. Let's do some of these things.
Zach Korchow, as always, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Gordon.
Zach Korchow is the editor of the Gongwer News Service. Links with more information and longer versions of interviews on West Southwest can be found at WMUK.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.